Hey everyone, my name's Rich, and thanks for checking out this message today. We're glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Connect at 97000. There we can answer any questions and even help pray for you. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we got going on here at the church. Finally, if you want to support the work that we're doing here at the River Church financially, please head to our website, click the Give tab at the top of the page, and you can text the amount that you want to give to 84321. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you're blessed by today's message.
So have you ever been in a place where you think like, I do not belong here, right? Like, I should not be here. I remember in college, I had a friend who, I met through kind of a mutual friend. We became friends. And her dad owned a luxury car dealership out in the suburbs of Chicago. And I remember one night, we were kind of hanging out as a group, and we were talking, and she found out that I enjoyed basketball a lot. And I was like talking to her just about, you know, her family and how she'd been to a bunch of different basketball games. And she's like, hey, would you want to go to a basketball game? And I was like, is that even a question? Like, duh, I would love to go to a basketball game, right? Like, where are we going? Are we going to like a high school basketball game? Are we going to a college basketball game? She's like, no, I actually have tickets to go see the Bulls. And I was like, for sure. Like, I will be there, name a time, name a place, right? Like, I will do whatever it takes to get there. And so it was like me and a couple of my buddies and then her and a couple of her friends. And she took us all to go see the Bulls. And I'm expecting, you know, I'm not necessarily like a picky person, right? Going to see a basketball game is going to see a basketball game. So I'm expecting, you know, like nosebleed seats. And I started to realize something was a little bit different when we didn't go pull into a parking structure. We pulled into some weird back entrance. And I was like, where are we going? She's like, to the Bulls game. What do you mean? I'm like, to pay to park is like out there. Where did we just pull in? She's like, oh, no, we have like private access. And I was like, okay, all right. I like when I'm here and here, you know. And slowly we begin to make our way down. And eventually we find ourselves like only one or two rows back of courtside, right? And, you know, I'm a college student, right? Like, I'm barely scraping together enough change for ramen, right? Like, on a good night. And here I'm sitting courtside with the Bulls. And I remember, you know, once the ecstatic feeling of like, this is the greatest day of my life, like literally the greatest day of my life, started to fade, I began to look around and see the people around me. And I'm like, I am out of place, right? Like, I have a off-brand jersey and they have real jerseys around me, right? Like, my shoes are kind of nice, but their shoes are like thousands of dollars nice, right? Like, I am out of place. I don't really belong here, right? My worth is maybe not the worth of the people around here in terms of dollars, right? And it's interesting because I started to feel a whole new level of thankfulness. Nothing feels better than having access to something or somewhere where you honestly have no business being. And so this evening, we're going to look at the crucifixion. We're going to look at specifically one miracle of the crucifixion. There are many, but there is one. And that moment, or that miracle at the crucifixion, at the moment where Christ dies for the sins of humanity, it really should help us feel a similar way. A gratitude of having access somewhere where we honestly have no business being. But let's pray before we dive into God's word this evening. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for this time of community where we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and together strengthen one another to battle temptation, to strengthen each other to battle discouragement, to strengthen each other to pursue godliness. Lord, where we can be together and dive into your word. Lord, I pray that your word would just teach us some really crucial, just beautiful pictures tonight. Lord, that we begin to understand and see that moment of your death in maybe a new light. Lord, we love you. In your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen. So go with me to the book of Matthew and jump to chapter 27. And so here, like I said, we're coming to the crux, the pinnacle of the redemptive story of the Bible, right? We've been taking a look at it all year where we've been seeing God time and time again redeem his people, time and time again show up, time and time again forgive them and save them. And here we come to the pinnacle of that because it's the ultimate moment of salvation where Christ goes to the cross and bears the sins of humanity on himself. We being sinful, we being people who disobey God and pursue ourselves rather than Creator, we deserve death, eternal separation from God. And Christ goes to the cross bearing that punishment on himself. He who knew no sin goes to the cross and bears the weight of sin in order that he might become our righteousness. And so he endures beating and mocking and spit, lashings, carrying a cross all the way up to the mountain of Golgotha. And he's on the cross being crucified, and there's this moment where he yields up his spirit. And so we're going to look at this specific moment here in Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 50, and to the first half of 51, it says this. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So here's this moment, right, where Jesus on the cross, he is dying for the sins of humanity. He cries out. He yields up his spirit. He says, this is the time. And in that moment where he perishes, the curtain of the temple was torn in half from the top to the bottom. And so some of you are thinking to yourself, you know, like, well, Pastor Justin, you said that this was a miracle, right? How is this a miracle? What is miraculous about, you know, a curtain tearing? And so in order to understand that, we need to understand a little bit of the background of this curtain that was hung in the temple. The first thing we need to understand is this temple was not a shower curtain, right? It was not, you know, a curtain that you would just kind of loosely hang up over the windows in your house. This was a massive curtain or a massive veil that hung in the temple that separated the mass of the temple from the holies of holy, the most holy place in the temple. And to get an understanding of how massive this temple was, it was said that, or tradition tells us that it was 60 feet tall and 4 inches thick. It was made of woven linen. So, like I said, this is not just a curtain. This is not just a blanket that they hung up. This is an incredible mass of linen. Like, if you wanted to take a knife and stab it through the temple curtain, you would not scratch it, right? It's that thick. There is no way you would just simply be able to go in there and cut it or take, you know, those little safety scissors and just start cutting your way through it, right? This is a massive, massive curtain. And so you may look and say, well, Justin, what is the significance? Why would God take the time to split this massive curtain? In the midst of this incredible moment where Jesus yields up his spirit, he cries out and he dies, being the sacrifice for humanity, why is the very next verse about a curtain? Well, like I said, we have to understand the significance. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. And so Hebrews, the book of Hebrews was written. We don't know the exact author. Many people attribute it to Paul. That's who I would attribute it to. The book of Hebrews is a sermon that was preached to Jewish listeners. And so there is a lot of context and deep understanding that those Jewish listeners would have as they listen to who I would say is Paul preach this sermon about who Jesus is. And so the book of Hebrews is specifically about the supremacy of Christ, how Christ is the greatest. And so in Hebrews chapter 9, we begin to see this picture of why Christ is our high priest, and why specifically the veil being torn or the curtain in the temple being torn at the death of Jesus was such a miraculous and incredible thing. And so we're going to kind of tackle this piece by piece and begin to see the picture of what this meant or what this moment meant. Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 1, says this. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place. And so here is just this picture in the temple of this place that had immense holiness, where the Spirit of God dwelled. And we've seen this as we've been studying throughout this year, all of Scripture. And we can know that there was this sense of immense holiness because we've seen moments like where God showed up and he dwelled in the tabernacle. We talked about that 1 week. And then we also talked about how God showed up and he blessed the temple that Solomon prepared. And how in both of those situations, God was dwelling and he was there. And he was so perfect and so holy that the people could not even get close. Because we are so not holy. And so there is this section where the preacher in Hebrews, he looks and he says, hey, even back in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, there was these places of immense holiness where holiness must be kept separate from us because we are so sinful and we are so opposite of the holiness of God that we could not get near. We fall so far short that it is death for us. There is a sense of purity there. That purity wipes us out because we are so impure. A place where we do not belong. And so here is this place, right? This curtain denoted that separation. That God was here and God dwelled here and this was holy. And we have to have this curtain here so that we don't go where we don't belong. We don't endanger ourselves by presenting ourselves not holy before a perfect holy God. And so we continue, verse 6. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties. But into the second, only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. So here we see the purpose, right? That the priests were meant to go into this place of holiness and they had to get right with God before they did so that they could go before God and be this intercessor, be the in-between, the middleman between the people and God, that they could go before this holy God and atone or make right things for the rest of the people. And specifically, there was only one priest, the high priest, who goes in once a year and he takes blood and he offers it for himself because he has to make sure that he is clean, that he is squared away that he has been made holy. And so there's this picture that someone must atone for the sins of the people so that forgiveness can be offered. And blood was the means for this. The wages of sin is death. And so the currency is blood. In the Old Testament, like you said, there are pictures of animals, doves, rams, bulls. They were offered up as a sacrifice for sin. Why? Because you see the cost of sin. Death. Your sin is not some wishy-washy thing. There is a consequence, and that consequence is death. And so it was a picture of something that must be sacrificed to make things right. Blood. But the problem was, there was a continuous sin, and so there was a continuous need to sacrifice. But, once again, only one could be made holy in order to enter before the Lord and atone for the sins of the people. But then we come to verse 11. It says this, "But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." So there's this picture, right, where the high priest had used the blood of goats and calves, and he had gone into this holy place and once a year would atone for the sins of the people. But this is once a year. This is a temporary fix. And he would time and time again have to go and perform this temporary fix. But the eternal fix, remember I said the pinnacle of this story is Christ. Because Christ comes being both God and man, living a perfect life, the only one holy, goes to these holy places, not through sacrifice of animals, but through his own sacrifice, through his own blood. He shed his blood for us. Sometimes we wonder, maybe you're newer to church and you look around and you see the cross, or sometimes we'll sing about things like the blood of Christ and you're like, ooh, this is weird. This is a little bit odd, right? It's passages like this that help us see why. Why do we talk about the blood of Christ? Because the blood of Christ gives us salvation. Because his sacrifice was not a sacrifice for a year. It wasn't for one sins. It was eternal redemption for you and for I. That we have eternal redemption secured, not because we sacrificed a lamb or a goat or a calf, but because Christ went to the cross and sacrificed himself for us. One of the beautiful things is, I'll just jump back, keep your finger here in Hebrews chapter 9, but the incredible thing in Matthew chapter 27 is we see Jesus cries out this loud voice. He yields up his spirit, offers himself as a sacrifice. If he wanted to live on that cross, he could live on that cross. He's God. He yielded up his spirit. He offered himself as a sacrifice. And then what do we see right after that? And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And then an important picture from top to bottom. From top to bottom. So many times we think that we are doing things to get to God. Sometimes I'll hear people say, Pastor, I would love to come to church, but I got to get some things right in my life before I show up at church. Or, I would love to say that I'm following Jesus or, ask Jesus to forgive me my sins, but I got to work some of those sins out first before I ask him to show up. You know what that is? That's thinking the curtain is torn from bottom to top. That we start the tear, that we start cutting, that we start to separate things, but we see a beautiful picture here in Matthew 27. God initiated it. It was torn from the top. God looked and said, "This is not how I want it. I want a relationship with my people, not just one high priest. I want salvation. I want redemption for my people, not just through the means of one. I want them all to be welcomed into the Holy of Holies, ripped from the top to bottom." And then continuing in verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 9. "Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant." So we've sinned. We are destined for eternal death, separated from God in hell. And Christ shows up and mediates a new deal. How? Through his death. We are redeemed, not through our works, not because we did enough stuff, not because we were good people, not because we pray and go to church every Sunday and every Tuesday, not because we aren't struggling in addiction anymore. We are only redeemed through the death of Jesus Christ. He alone can pay our way. He alone can endure our punishment. He alone is worthy. His blood alone provides us eternal redemption. Nothing I do, nothing you do, nothing I say, nothing you say, nothing Pastor Jason says or Pastor Roy says, nothing that we do secures eternal redemption. Only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is eternal redemption secured. And so we see this picture of the crucifixion, right? What Jesus does, he dies on the cross. He endures that punishment and that torture. And it is given to us in a picture of this veil being torn. Access to God. And so a lot of times you'll see in Scripture the word "therefore." And this word "therefore" is meant to draw us to an application, which means it's really saying, okay, because all that I just told you, here's how you can live. Here's what you can trust. Here's what you can do. I gave you this information. I taught you these things. Therefore, live like this differently because of it. And we see a very crucial therefore in Hebrews chapter 10. So go right to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 19. It says this: "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." So you may look and say, "Man, that sounds really good, Pastor. That's a lot of, you know, Scrabble words that were used in there, but I don't really understand what it means." Let's look at it a little bit. So we see right away he addresses what the veil or that curtain being torn means, right? He says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus Christ." So Christ sheds his blood on the cross, and the curtain that leads to that holy place is torn, right? Showing that it is no longer meant to keep out, but it is open for all. So Christ's blood has given us a means to enter the most holy places, to go before God. Only because of Christ's blood can we go before a holy God. And we can have confidence. Why? I don't have confidence in me. I don't have confidence in my worth. But what I do have confidence in is Christ's worth and the value that he gave to me because he shed his blood for me. And so can I have confidence when I go before God, because I know that it wasn't because of anything I did, it was because of what Christ did for me. And then he says in verse 20, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. So Christ, through his death, provided a new way of living for us. A new and living way that he alone opened for us. So you want to know what I say to those who say, you know, Justin, I'd love to come to church, but I got to get some things right. I said, hey, come on. You don't need to get those things right. We can do those things together. Because you trying to live a new way without Jesus, it's foolishness. Only through Christ do we have access to this new and living way. Why? Because he's the only one that opens it for us. There's no self-help book. There's no inspiring TikTok. There's no great thing that you're going to read on the internet this week that's going to help you start this new living way. You want to know what's going to start a new living way in your life? Christ Jesus. Salvation. And so then he says, verse 21, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, which is Christ, Christ is our high priest now. Why? Because he went and sacrificed himself on our behalf. 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And so here we see who we were, right? Hearts that were an evil conscience and dirty, rancid, nasty bodies. That's our sin. That's where we find ourselves. Pursuing me, pursuing what I want, what I think is right, in living in disobedience contrary to what God calls us to, contrary to his word. And so now we know that we can draw near to God with a full assurance because our hearts have been cleaned and our bodies washed through the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. And then lastly, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So in all these things we can trust. Why? Because Jesus did what he said he was going to do. Because he did not spare anything. He gave it all. His life he laid down for us so that the curtain could be torn. He gives us an assurance of this redemption that we have. God does not change. He has given us forgiveness and redemption through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ paid. And we see this throughout this picture of this curtain being torn. And this is where I think is crucial for us. I don't know about some of you, but lately it can be difficult to hold on to hope without wavering. Maybe it's through circumstance. Maybe it's through something someone's said to you or some things that you've seen. Maybe it can be through internal struggle. You felt this wavering, this hope that is wavering. And it can be difficult to hold on to confidence. And I think that's why the preacher in Hebrews, he says these things. Because he looks and he says, your hope cannot be based on you. If your hope is based on you, then of course it's going to waver. Because we are easily washed different sides. He says, let our hope, let this confession, this hope that we hold fast to, let it be in Christ and his words. Let it be Christ and his actions, what he did. I can trust that I have been redeemed because Christ died for me. And though there may be hard times or I don't understand what this mess looks like, I can confidently look towards his plans and trust, even though I don't quite understand, because he has done. He has done. And so this week, I want to encourage you to remind yourself of the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. And so my question to you is, how? How are you going to do that? It's easy to say, amen, Pastor, I'm going to remind myself of that hope. In those times where I'm doubting or questioning, I'm going to remind myself of that hope. That's a lofty goal, right? If we're going to look and we say, hey, I need to be reminded of that. I've been discouraged plenty of times this week. I need to remember that confidence that I can have in Christ Jesus. How am I going to do that? I want to give you a couple things. First, I encourage you to highlight this passage in your Bible. Maybe stick a bookmark here, or, you know, doggy ear if you got to. I know maybe some of you guys don't like doing that to your Bible, but find a way to find this passage over and over and over again. Then in moments of discouragement, moments when you feel that hope wavering, you can come back to this passage and say, you know what? I trust that I have redemption through Christ Jesus because the veil was torn because Christ sacrificed for me. Second thing I encourage you is have someone that you can reach out to. Have someone that you can reach out to who can remind you of these things. And it can be really easy to say, oh yeah, I have that person. But a lot of us, if we're honest, we don't reach out when we need to. We get ashamed, we get afraid, we get embarrassed, or we don't want to bother someone. The reality is, Christ died for us. And so we can talk as brothers and sisters in Christ and be open with one another about what we're struggling with. I know your brothers and sisters in this room, they would love for you to text them when you're struggling and discouraged or your hope is wavering. Why? Because it's a time where we can remind you of the truth of Christ. The last, I would encourage you to spend every day in prayer. Even if it's 5 minutes. Taking time and going to the Lord. Because one of the cool things about Christ giving us access to the Holy of Holies is we can go before the Most High God. It's interesting thinking back to that earlier story, right? Where you have to go to the Bulls games. Prayer, when we don't pray, it's like turning down tickets to the Bulls, right? I don't know about you, but I ain't doing that, right? I'm not turning those tickets down. And so we've been given this secure hope that comes in prayer, in the form of prayer, a time to go and lay our requests, lay our hurts and our praises down before the Most High God, because we've been made holy by Christ. Don't squander that opportunity. So set aside that time of prayer. Write it. Write this verse maybe on a post-it note. And then find some people who can encourage you and who you can reach out to in times where you feel that hope wavering. But the encouragement is to remember that Christ's blood made a way for us because of his sacrifice and his redemption. Let's pray. Lord, I just, first and foremost, I thank you for the sacrifice that you gave for us. Lord, that you went to the cross and shed your blood so that we could have eternal redemption secured. Lord, that we could enter into these most high places because of the confidence that we have in the shedding of your blood for us. Lord, I pray that if someone in this room is wrestling with that moment of salvation, maybe they at times feel like they believe and at times doubt and question, Lord, I pray that they would be willing to have a conversation, maybe with your table leader, or with me, or with someone else. Lord, they would talk to us about the goodness of the gospel, the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that it provides us salvation. Lord, I pray that you would just move their hearts. Lord, I thank you just for this picture of a new way, a new and living way. Lord, as we battle sin and temptation, Lord, I pray that we would have confidence in this new and living way that you opened up for us through your sacrifice. Lord, I pray that we would rely on that and trust in that and turn to that. Lord, I pray for the conversations that happen in table groups. Lord, I pray that you would move people's hearts. Lord, I pray that if anyone in this room is in need of prayer, that you would move their hearts to come down forward. Lord, you know each night we have people here ready to pray, Lord, and I pray tonight that you would help whoever it is in this room that is in deep need of prayer, that they would feel confidence and a call to come and pray. Lord, we thank you just for this time in your word, this time of worship. We pray that you would continue to show up in our lives as we seek you. In your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen.